As far as the role of audio goes, this is what I had mentioned earlier. You know, all of a sudden, you know, your car is not a car anymore. So, you know, I think it's really up to your imagination what you want to do with it.
Okay, so we've been talking about the future of transportation. We'll get to that today, don't worry, but for a quick second for now, look back. Think about your history with cars or with driving, or even with just being a passenger. What's the first thing that comes to mind? I remember the Mazda 626 that might have been the first new car my parents ever bought. It was maybe around 1980. I was 8 years old. They kept it long enough to hand it down to me when I started driving. Nothing fancy, gray, manual transmission. And as for the most important feature for any teenager, the sound system? I actually can't remember. Wikipedia says the standard trim, and I'm sure that's what we had, came with an AM radio. Maybe that's why. Today, everyone's thinking about car audio, and not just how to deliver music and podcasts to make commuting less of a drag. There's also a whole category of audio that has more to do with safety and comfort and even quiet, and not anything to do with entertainment.
You know, music is the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of audio, and rightfully so. You know, music really changed the perception of how, you know, people thought inside the car, but it's way beyond music. You know, music is something you see every day, but under the hood, there's a lot more going on in the car, especially in the car of the future and the car of that's being designed today.
Anil Khanna has been working on automotive audio for a while now. He's a senior manager in the automotive audio business line at Mentor, a Siemens business, and he's out there talking about this stuff all the time. He writes blogs and white papers, presents at conferences, does video demos, and gives seminars. He has lots to say about car audio, and yeah, connecting your phone and streaming music is part of it, but there's lots more too.
I would concur with the latter. We are actually very much at an inflection point. You know, audio in general, or I would say automotive in general, hasn't been through such a disruption as we are facing right now, especially in the last 5 to 10 years. You know, companies like Tesla have come in and raised the bar significantly. And then to add to that, just the consumer's expectation of how electronics should interact with them personally has changed the entire mindset of what a consumer expects from an automotive, how it behaves. And of course, audio is not immune to that.
When you say car audio, you know, you talk about coming into work, you're listening to a podcast, you think something that's coming through your speakers, entertainment, music or audiobook or whatnot. But really, there's a whole slew of audio applications. There's noise cancellation, simulated engine sounds, pedestrian warning sounds. There's custom audio signatures for various nameplates, which are associated with the brand. Can you run through sort of briefly some of the audio applications today? And I'm curious, particularly, do they hang off the same network or are they on different networks? It seems a little paradoxical, at least to me, but some of the more advanced audio applications today have to do with keeping things quiet rather than delivering a sort of blow your hair back concert hall, rattle your eardrums experience you might be thinking of.
There's a lot of active noise control methodologies being applied. You know, up until now, and even going forward, people use passive noise control, as in, you know, insulation material to minimize the sound in the cabin. But going forward, for example, companies are looking at active noise control methodologies using signal processing techniques to shape the noise, not only just cancel noise, but in some cases also create noise, just so that your experience within the cabin, you know, is that much enhanced. So there's sound enhancement, there is sound cancellation, and like you said, sound is also used as a safety mechanism. You know, in electric vehicles, there is a legal mandate, in fact, that by the middle of 2018, after September of 2018, any new vehicle coming on the road should support pedestrian warning systems that are acoustic alerts that are created outside of the car when the car is below a certain speed, in low speeds. So that's another example. And then you touched upon voice-activated applications. Alexa in the home is in the home. Amazon is putting a lot of resources to to bringing Alexa into the car. So, you know, you'll see more and more. I think it was last year that BMW announced a partnership with Garmin, I believe, to bring Alexa in the car. So audio is all encompassing, right? It's acoustics, it's audio, it's infotainment, you know, information, music. And also the car of the future. When you have autonomous vehicles, your car is just not a car anymore. A car is transformed into different kind of resources.
Of course, one of the big ideas in tech at the moment is that we're moving toward voice navigation, voice control of, well, everything. Chances are you use your voice to navigate your phone, ask for directions or a weather forecast, or send a text to your spouse. My kids certainly prefer talking to Google Home rather than to me. Voice navigation is already part of the driving experience and has been for years with hands-free calling and so on. And it sounds like talking to Anil, given what's coming with connected autonomous vehicles, there's going to be more voice applications in the future and much more besides that. It's not just car audio that's changing, it's the whole idea of the car itself.
Could be a living room on wheels, it could be an office on wheels. Imagine leaving your home at 8 in the morning in a driverless vehicle, but your day starts at 8, your work, you have a conference call, you sit in the car, and then your car becomes very quiet, so you can have a very clear conference call as you're driving towards work. Or if you're coming back from work, you want to catch up on your favorite Netflix show, the same car transforms into a movie theater. And all of that is enabled by audio, video, it's all coming together.
Related to that, we've done a series of these interviews talking about the sort of transformation that's going on in personal transportation, the move to autonomy and mobility services. And you could say, or someone might say, that, hey, you know, audio is kind of way down the list of problems to solve or important applications. But in fact, you know, maybe based on what you've said and based on this big idea in tech about it's really going to be a battle to own the consumer, audio is not trivial as far as the transformation of what's going on in transportation. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. One of the favorite lines I like to tell people is, look, audio, speech, sound, it's one of the six senses, right? You cannot simply ignore it. You know, and also if you look at this realistically, when you're driving a car, the safest way to control any electronics around you without taking your eyes off the road is through audio. You know, until the time when computers can read your mind, I'd stick with audio for now. So you cannot simply ignore it. You know, gone are the days where audio was, judged by the quality of the music in your car. Now it's way beyond that. So I would say, you know, if you are really serious about this market and also about the future, then you have to consider audio as a core part of your design methodology.
A lot of Anil's work has to do with how audio is transported around the vehicle, what network the signals travel on. You need more bandwidth for audio applications, which include more and more infotainment, noise cancellation, and so on. But you also need to keep cost and weight down. There's a relatively new networking technology, it's called Automotive Audio Bus, or A2B for short, that delivers some of these benefits. Anil explains more.
Basically, we partnered with them right from the onset. We saw the value of such a network, and that is really changing things up about how audio is now perceived and used for designing. So for one, what it does is it allows you to carry pure digital audio. Believe it or not, there are still cars on the road, dominating the road, that only carry analog audio. So A2B allows you to carry digital audio, 32 bits resolution. Just to give you an idea, your typical CD that you listen to is about 24 bits, or in some cases 16 bits. So this is 32-bit, really high quality, high resolution audio. And because it's pure audio, you get the whole bandwidth of the bus dedicated to only transporting audio. So all of a sudden, you're able to connect a lot of your audio-specific components, not components that you're used to, not just microphones and speakers, but also sensors, accelerometers that are going to be placed under the car specifically to pick up the vibrations of the road, so you can then cancel road noise, vibrations.
But I know we have something to say on noise cancellation is too. Can you talk a little bit about our work there?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting idea. It's near and dear to my heart because it's pretty cutting edge technology. So when somebody asks me, especially my kids or my wife, what is that? I have a very simple answer. You know, if you are familiar with the Bose headsets, the Bose noise canceling headsets, the concept is the same. It's a 50-year-old concept. Basically, you pick out your noise you want to cancel, and then you generate what is called anti-noise, which is the same noise out of phase, 180 degrees out of phase, and you direct it back at the source. Or at the place where you want to listen, and then the idea is that these two noises cancel each other out, creating a quiet zone around the place around your ear where you want to listen. So we are taking that same concept and basically think of it as a giant Bose headset inside your car. So we are creating quiet zones inside the car using the existing speakers in the car, and using DSP single processing methodologies, and creating quiet zones around each of the occupants in the car. So we would create four quiet zones or five quiet zones. And then there are two flavors of noise cancellation. There is one flavor which is canceling the engine noise, or the engine odor cancellation flavor, where the noise is pretty repetitive, to a fair degree of consistency. You can model that noise because it is coming mostly from the engine. But then there is the other type of noise which is very difficult to cancel, which is the road noise that comes from the tire cavity resonance, from the friction between the tire and the road. All that vibration gets picked up and transfers to the chassis of the car, into the structure and into the air, and finally to the ear. So that noise is the holy grail. A lot of companies would like to cancel that noise. There are only a handful of companies that are researching this. Mentor is one of them. And I believe we have a pretty solid broadband noise cancellation solution. So I'm pretty excited about this. I think that's going to be something very interesting. If we can control road noise, all those long drives, your summer vacations will get a lot more quieter.
It's almost time to wrap up. Each guest gets a series of rapid-fire questions at the end. Think of this as scanning the dial, sampling what's on the air. Maybe that doesn't make sense since no one listens to the radio anymore. No matter, Anil makes sense. Check it out. So, number one, what's your favorite go-to source for information about autonomous vehicles or what's going on in transportation today?
I think it's hard to pin down one. I always like to go to multiple sources. I like to look at Strategy Analytics as a market research firm. I go to several blogs. I look up LinkedIn. I go to Medium. There's a lot of interesting personal articles there. So yeah, it's not just one source. It's several different locations.
And of course, you read the Mentor Automotive blog religiously.
Absolutely. Yes, I read and I contribute, definitely.
Number two, you've had a great career at Mentor. What advice would you give for somebody who wants to get into automotive systems engineering and maybe specifically related to autonomous vehicles?
I wish I was at the age where I was coming out of college right now, to be honest. I think this is the dream time to enter the workforce. So be curious. Be open to trying out new ideas. I think really there is no end. I mean, this hasn't been done before, so there is no right or wrong way to do things. Just learn as far as technology goes. Come into the market, learning all the new buzzwords that people are asking for: artificial intelligence, machine learning, embedded technologies, signal processing skill sets. That's some of the skill sets that we personally are looking for to fill positions.
Number three, and I agree with you that the biggest roadblock to autonomous vehicles is going to be the social and legal regulatory stuff, but the biggest technical problem that you see to implement level four vehicles, if you had to pick one, what would you say it is?
I think one would be is the how to consume the massive amount of data that you are collecting with all the different sensors in the car and do it in a not only in a meaningful way, but in a more cost-effective way. I think that's going to be a challenge that people have to figure out. Without sacrificing, integrity, right?
Right. Number four, last one, what's the best part of your job today? What are you most sort of intellectually engaged in? How do you have fun on the job?
You mean other than this podcast?
I'll Google wallet you $20 when we're done with recording. Thank you.
I'm glad I have that on recording. Well, what's fun is just get to meet and talk to a lot of smart people, and not only in the company, but just, you know, in the industry with customers, you know, with wannabe people who want to work. You know, it's really a fun time to be working in this industry right now. So that's what I'd say.
A big thanks to Anil for his time today. We'll include links to some of his writing and video presentations in the show notes, including some of his recent blogs. I hope the production of this episode turns out good enough that he might listen to it on his commute into work, at least for a few minutes. We have more interesting conversations queued up, including a talk with one of Anil's colleagues, Rob Bates, who knows embedded systems quite well. Among other things, Rob is going to talk about what to do with all the data generated by connected vehicles outfitted with more and more sensors. And it's a bunch of data. I think Google's self-driving cars generate 1 gigabyte of sensor data per second. So we're talking petabytes per year. And yeah, I had to look up that prefix also. Peta is 10 to the power of 15, so that's 1,000 million million bytes. Again, that's per vehicle. We'll let Rob sort that one out. Thanks for joining us today, and for more, visit Siemens PLM Software online. Siemens PLM Software is a world-leading provider of product lifecycle management and manufacturing operations management software. We help thousands of companies realize innovation by optimizing their processes from planning and development through manufacturing, production, and support.